Okay, so we're on that pay tonight. So where the Gemara is up till now in yesterday's da, you had Arichas what the shear of stira is. And in other words, a man says to his wife, I'll tistri and ploni, I don't want you to be alone with X. And then she's alone with X. So then, and we don't know whether she was mezana or not. Then that's the sota situation that we're speaking about in our Masechta. So the Gemara went through a whole Arichas, what's the shear of stira. So the Gemara gave in yesterday's Gemara 9 pshatim, but one of them was from Plimo. Where is it? Yeah. So Plimo says it's kadesh toshet yad l'sal l'tol kikar. The amount of time it takes for a woman to put her hand in the basket and take out a loaf of bread, and then the Gemara quoted a pasuk kiviyad ishazona kikar lachem, that for an ishazona, a person will toil like a kikar lechem, for a loaf of bread. And then the Gemara linked that to a din, had to do with gasas ruach. So what was the one second, one second. So, yeah. So the Gemara said, "Klapali shvizonu sofer vakish kikar lechem," but then the Gemara linked it to gasas ruach. What was the connection with gasas ruach that was limud from this pasuk? Right, but the Gemara eventually connected it to gasas ruach, arrogance. So the Gemara has a whole Arichos now about arrogance. So around Daf Hey and Aleph, around line three. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Azhar l'gasa ruach minayin." Where do we see in the Torah? And azhara means when the Torah says, "Don't do X." So where do we see an azhara for gasa ruach, for being arrogant? So it means, usually an azhara is something that's necessary to give you malkot, not to be malkot here, but it's saying, where do we see the Torah says done not to be this way? Asar gas ruach haruach minayin. I'm a rav. I'm a ziri. Shemuva zinu al tigvau. So he quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyah, like, listen, be attentive. Al tigvau, don't be arrogant. So al tigvau, don't be arrogant. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar mehacha. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says from the following pasuk, v'ram levavecha v'shachachta. So it says in Parshat Ekev, it says v'ram levavecha, when you get arrogant, puffed up. B'shachachta, you'll forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'chitiv, Yisham L'chav Penshkach HaRashem Elokecha. Another pasuk, also in Parshas Ekev, a few psukim earlier, says, be careful lest you forget Hashem. In other words, the Torah is saying, don't forget Hashem, and then it's saying, and if you become arrogant, you'll forget Hashem. B'chud Rabbi Yavin Amar Rabbi Law. The Amar Rabbi Yavin Amar Rabbi Law, K'mo K'mo Shemar Hishamar Pen Va'al, in a little low tasa. So the Torah uses any of those terms, Hishamar, or pen, or al, that's lo ta'ase. So it says, he shamer l'cha pen tishkach Hashem, that means don't forget Hashem, and then it says, if you become arrogant, you'll forget Hashem. So that's where there's an admonition not to become arrogant. Let me just do a few more lines, and we'll pause. Four lines before it gets wide. Darsh Ravavira, Ravira Darshan, Zimna Amar Lavashmeh Ravasi, Zimna Amar Lavashmeh Ravami. Ravira made this drasha, sometimes he said in the name of Ravasi, sometimes in the name of Ravami. Whoever has gases ruach, arrogance, haughtiness, the stupid mind. In the end, he becomes diminished. Them are romu ma'at, like be arrogant, and then you'll be diminished. So you'll say, well, the Gemara is darshing this pasuk. The pasuk's in Zio.
I'm surprised you're so early.
Okay, please, you have to mute yourself. Okay, all right. Let me just help you out. One second. All right. So the pasuk says, we'll see. So the Gemara says, "Shemar Roma Ma'at," and it was be arrogant and then be diminished. "Rishema Tamar Yeshno Bolam." You say, "Look, but the person is still around in this world." "Tamalomar Veinenu." It says Roma Ma'at Veinenu, and then he's not there anymore. "Bim Choserbo," but if he does tshuva, "Nesaf Izvano Kavra Mavino." Then if he does tshuva, to live like the proper length of time, like Avraham Avinu, Shnemar, Vehumchu, Kikol, Kapsun. In other words, when they're crushed, they become low, to call you cops and like they'll sort of like jump or leap like everyone. To Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, the Tibahu Bakol Mikol Kol. In other words, Behumchu to call you cops. It was a drash on the Pasuk. In other words, if they become like Behumchu could be, you know, like reduced or crushed. So they're not arrogant anymore. Kichol ikapsun, the leap forward. Kichol, what is kichol? Kol, more darshing like the avod or kol, but kol mikol kol. And Rashi goes through the psukim of kol mikol kol. It says Rashi in the Rashi's on the second arrow line of Rashi. He says Avram and says Hashem birakat Avram kol. Yitzchak says va'ochal mikol, and Yaakov says ki chanai elkim v'chiyesh lekol. That's bakol mikol kol that we say in our benching all the time. He says back in the Gemara third wide line, lav, but if not, if he doesn't become lowly, uchrosh shibolet imalu, like the head of the stalk will be cut off. He says mayu uchrosh shibolet, rav huna rav tista chadamar kisasa di shibalta. They said the beard of the stalk. It means on top of the stalk there's apparently like some like spiky type things, so that'll get cut off or they fall off. But chadamar kishibolet atzma, like the stalk itself. So we'll see in a minute. So if I say it's like these spikes, so it says Rosh Shibolet, so I understand it. He says, El Lamandamar Kishibolta Atzma, Mai Ukarosh Shibolet. So we'll explain in a minute. So Amar Basi became kind of bigger Rishmael, Mashali Dam Shetas Tosadeu, Gibo Gibo Humalaki. When a person comes to his field, he chops off the tallest stalk first. So the first way he's saying, like they have like these like spiky things at the top of the stalk and then they fall off. So the guy who's arrogant, he'll be like the things that are falling off. The other way is saying he'll be cut down, like the farmer, he cuts down the tall stalks first. So it's a drasha, like you're fitting the drasha into the words of the Pasuk, but he fit it in. Anyway, so the basic idea we learned so up till now is haughtiness, bad news, and there's admonitions against being haughty. And then we said that if you're haughty, then you get diminished. But if you do tshuva, then you're in good shape. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far?
Didn't one of the mafarshim say Vashem Berachat Avraham Bakol means he had a daughter, and her name was Bakol?
Right, there's a shot like that. Well, right. It, first of all, it doesn't necessarily contradict what we said here. He's just saying it's a reference.
I just wanted to add it for all those people who may not know. Right.
Okay.
I thought it was nice.
Okay, there's a Medrash Chazal like that. Okay, what else?
Rabbi, also, Bakol, Mikol, Kol.
Wait, just one second. Rafi's talking, then I'll get to you. Okay, go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't hear.
Who, what? What's that? What did he say? Wait, I don't see what you're saying. Right. Oh, yeah, but there's a Medrash Chazal that he had a daughter. That's what Fern was saying. There's a Medrash Chazal. Okay, Dana, what do you have for me?
When it says Bakol Mikol Kol, Bakol is Abraham, Mikol Kol is Yitzchak and Yaakov. That's what Hebrew Ashkol is saying in the Bible. So only the Bakol part is Abraham. Just a comment.
No. In other words, Bakol is a reference to Abraham, but what does it mean that Hashem Beirachat Abraham Bakol? So Fern was saying there's a Medrash Chazal that says the Hashem Birachat Avram Bakol, that Avram had a daughter, her name was Bakol.
I'm familiar with that.
Blessed was Bakol. That's all Fern was saying.
But the Mikol Kol is not Avram anymore.
We got it. Okay, let's go further to the Gemara. Now, the sixth very wide line. Okay. Okay. Now, or the word whatever, the eighth very wide line. Now, the Daka Ushval Ruach, so it says, Marom, or Kadosh, Marom, but Kadosh Ashkon. In other words, I will dwell in the high places, the Daka Ushval Ruach, and with the oppressed and the lowly. That's a Kadosh Baruch Hu talking. He says, Rav Huna Rav Chista Charamar Iti Daka. So he's darshaning out, one says that Hashem et Hashem, I'm going to bring the lowly person up to me. Et daka, the daka person will be with me. So if you look at Rashi in the 10th narrow line, et daka ani magbio at shochenisli vayinu eshkon et daka. He says, let me get the whole pasuk out. One second. So he says, yeah. Kichomarab shmo, marom kadosh eshkon yetaka. So eshkon is I will dwell the et daka. So he's darshening it like the daka, the oppressed party, the downtrodden person is going to be with me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, et. So back in the Gemara, so he says here, Chadamar et daka, Chadamar ani et daka. The other says ani et daka, that Hashem will go down to the oppressed person. And I assume the one who says et daka, he's darshening the word, you know, eshkon et daka, in other words, like et, like et. So umistabrik mandamar ani et daka. So the Gemara says, it's logical to assume that Hashem is going to go down to the downpressed person. For Rekash Baruch Hu iniach kol harim bod, Hashem like left all the mountains and the hills. He says v'hishrash shchina to har Sinai. He put his shchina on har Sinai. Below gabar har Sinai lamad. He didn't raise har Sinai. So in other words, if we see like a mashal, we know that when Hashem gave the Torah, he disregarded all the taller mountains. He went to like the lowest mountain, which was har Sinai. And that's similar to the idea. Like in other words, he didn't, you know, so that sounds like if we take the same model, Hashem, you know, abides with the person who's down pressed. I'm Rabbi Yosef, if the Lamia Maradam Midat Kono. So Rabbi Yosef said a person should learn from like the Midot, from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shekadosh Baruch Hu Niyach Lorim Agvod, Vishrashkin to Har Sinai. Hashem left all the big mountains, he went to the lowly mountain. He says, Viniyach Kolilan, and then some say this doesn't belong here. He says on the side from Rishai Berlin in the Ein Yaakov, it's not here. He left all the big trees. He put his shechina in the snare in Parshat Shemot. He appears to Moshe Rabbeinu in a snare. He doesn't take like this big, you know, sequoia here there, he's like a lowly bush. So that's something that So Rashi says, Yamad Adami dat kono lehovet am nichod. A person should like try to, you know, favor, you know, humility and low situations and not look to sort of, you know, self-aggrandizement, you know, things like that. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts? Yes. Well, David, I think David was the youngest. I think Yishai had seven sons, and David was the youngest. That's true. He said, this, Hashem says, you know, I'll tabita marehu, you know, don't look at his looks. The man sees like the outward appearance. I see what's in the heart of the person. Okay. All right. Let's see for back in the Gemara. Okay, round.
I would try to give Moshe a daughter, but I don't have a medrash for that.
All right. Round the 10th line down. So Amar Blazar, Kodam Sheish Megasar Ruach, if a person has Gasar Ruach, arrogance, Rula Gado Kashera. Article translated to be cut down. I think Ligadea is to uproot, like totally uprooted, like an Asherah tree. Asherah tree is a tree that's worshipped for Abodah Zarah, totally uprooted. Keep Hacha of Rameha Kamagduim. It says here, those will be of high stature, will be cut down or uprooted. It says you should uproot the Asherah tree. So it's interesting, you know, there's a connection between the two. In other words, it's linking, Asherah tree is a tree that's worshipped for Avodah Zarah. It's connecting to an arrogant person, but arrogance is like a type of Avodah Zarah because the person, you know, he's not, you know, deferring to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's thinking so much of himself. You know, to the extent that he's puffing himself up, it's sort of like an Avodah Zarah. In other words, he's turning himself somewhat into an Avodah Zarah. But Amar Blazar, Kodam Shish Bugasar Ruach, Inafaro, and I think Rav Simon has spoken about that with the arrogance and Avodah Zarah. He says, Amar Blazar, Kodam Shish Bugasar Ruach, Inafaro Ninar. If a person has Gasar Ruach, Inafaro Ninar means his dust, and when he dies, his corpse dust won't be disturb like when time tchias amesim. In other words, he won't have tchias amesim, is what he's saying. Shneimar hakitzav ranu shochnei afar. The pasuk says, like, wake up and sing shochnei afar. Those who dwell in the afar, in the dust, shochvei baafar lo nemar. It doesn't say those who lie in the dust, which would be the dead people. El shochnei afar, Mishnasa Shachin La Far B'Chayav means like he's a Shachin, a neighbor of the Afar. In other words, that's where he hung out in the Afar. In other words, that is it's a Drasha. In other words, he's saying that, you know, the humble person, that's the person who will have peace nation. Let me see how he does. Let me see what he says here. El Shochnei Afar, right? Dwellers of the dust. Okay, Shachin La Far. Okay, let's see back. So Va'amr Blazar, person has arrogance, the Shechina is like wailing for him. He says the arrogant he grieves over from afar. I mean, a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Yieda means to grieve. That's what he says. Rashi over here has. Yeah, he does. If you look at Rashi, let's look at Rashi. But go on, Merachak Yeda. Reish Dekrat Ki Ram Hashem V'Shafal Yireh. So the beginning of the pasuk is Hashem is great and exalted, and He sees the lowly person. V'Gavoa HaGavoa Mi Merachak Mi Kodem Shtavola Puranot Yamim Rabim. Before, like punishment comes to this person, he says Shechina Metonenet Mishtaber Lav. The Shechina is like wailing or is you know mournful for him. In other words, the Yodea Rashi is bringing down can be to destroy. So here he's saying, the way he translates it, he grieves from afar, is what he says here. He says, Yeda means broken up over or grieves over. Okay, grieves over the arrogant person from afar, long before the time for his punishment arrives. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara. Darash Rav Avi Rav Yitam and Rav Lazar over Eishlok Minish Baruch Hu Midab HaSavadam Midab HaSavadam Gavoa Roed HaGavoa Vein Gavoa Roed HaShapal. This is like a typical in among humans, like if a person's exalted, he sees an exalted person, he doesn't see the lower person. I'll explain in a minute. He says, V'al Midab HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eino Chein Hu Gavoa Roed HaShapal. Hashem is the most exalted person, powerful, and when a person, you know, powerful, and if he sees the lowly, Shenemar, Kiram Hashem, Bishafal Yireh. You know, my father said for me, Brach, I remember he said, like, sometimes he said, like, let's say you have a room full of people and you have a dog there and there'll be another dog in the room. The other dog, they won't see all the people, they only see the other dog. So, in other words, let's say you have a room, let's say this whole room would be filled with people and two people would have a dog. So the one dog would see the other dog right away. Like, he doesn't see all the people, he sees the dog. So he was saying, like, sometimes, like, with people, you know, whatever, like, have a certain station in life, they only see that person. In other words, all the people, in other words, just like the dog doesn't see the other people, he sees the other dog. So it's like the person, he's at a certain station, he walks in, he doesn't see the other people, he just sees, like, the person who's like himself. So that's what he's saying, like, the Gavoa sees the Gavoa, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not that way. He sees, you know, even the lonely people. All right, so let's see back in the Gemara. All right, this we did. Oh, further, he says, "Amar of Chista b'Yitamim Mar Uchba Kol Dam Sheish Bagasad Ruach Mar Kach Baruch Hu and Aniva Hu Yichol Nadur Balam." So, Rav Chista says, and say Mar Uchba said, any person who's got some haughtiness, Kach Baruch says, I can't live and be in the same world with him. Shenemar Melashni B'Seit Reihu Oto Atzmi. So, the one who slanders his friend, I will destroy. Giva Inayim Rachav Levav Oto Lo Uchal. And the one who's like Rechav Levav, he says, Gibai Naim, like 40 eyes, Rechav Levav, how does he translate it? He who slanders his neighbor in secret, he might cut him, one with 40 eyes and expansive heart, he might cannot bear. So the Gemara says, he says, Altikre Oto, Ela Ito, La Uchal. In other words, so it says Oto lo uchal, I can't stand him, but Ito lo uchal. Yeah, in other words, him I cannot bear, but he's saying, he read it, like, I cannot bear to dwell with him, is the way he's understanding it. I cannot bear to dwell with him. Ika demat ni lo, abasapre lo shona ra. Someone to say that drasha, that I can't bear to live with him, that drasha was said concerning Lashon Hara, not according to the arrogant people. Beginning the pasuk says, "The one who slanders his neighbor, I will destroy." So Okay, so that piece. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Yes and no. All right. Yes and no. First, everybody has natias. Everybody has certain propensities in life. But even if a person has that propensity, the Torah requires him to work on it. So I don't know necessarily. Maybe I don't know. I never thought of arrogance as a propensity that people have an arrogance propensity like from birth. But even if that is the case, they are obligated to try to bend it into what?
Not an excuse.
Right. Well, that's the Rambam in Hilchot Deot. He says people have different dispositions, and usually by the midot, the middle midah is the best. Like not good. Right. Well, and yeah. So Yosef says, except for gaiva by arrogance, then Rambam says you have to be anav, and anger also is an exception. All right, let's see further in the Gemara. So, Amar Blasandri, quote on Facebook, Gasad Ruach, I feel Ruach Kama'a Ocharto. The person is arrogant, even a small wind will disturb him. So he says, agitate him is what he says here. He says, so he says here, Shneemar or Shaim Kayam Nigrash. The Rishayim are like the sea that's like chased, what does he say? He says, driven. Just like the yam, it has many ravias of water, but a little ruach will disturb it. And it was like, and he says here, and I think Rashi brings down, it will cause the like the mud to come up and things like that. Adam she'imbo el ravir achad, man that has one ravias. So halakha must be seen. I take it that the minimum amount for life, for human life, is one ravias of dam. He says achad kama kama. So. So much more. So let's see Rashi. He says, wait. So he says here, he'll be agitated by a light wind. One second, let me just take a look. One second. I assume it means that, you know, like things will, you know, right. In other words, if you're arrogant, you know, everything that happens gets me upset, and so it like throws me apart and things like that. Okay, let's see further. So I'm Rav Kibar Ashi Amarav. Tamachacham Sriv Shehibo Akad Mishmona Bishmini. Tamachacham has to have an eighth of arrogance. Rashi takes it eighth of an eighth. Is like a weight in Uchla, but it's a small amount of Gaiva. We'll talk shortly. He says the arrogance, a small amount of arrogance for Tamil Chacham is like the crown on the Shibolet, on the stalk. He says, Amarava Bishamta de Itbe. So Rabbi says, if a person, he's not a Tamil Chacham, but he's got the arrogance, he should be in Cheirem. Ubishamta de Leitbe. But if he's a Tamil Chacham and he doesn't have any Gassas Ruach, then he needs to be also b'shamta. He says it means like this. So before I go to that, so it means like this. Like if you're a rav and you don't have any arrogance, so like right. Like Yosef saying, nobody respect you. You have to be able to project a certain authority in the community. And if you don't have any arrogance, you're just like a marshmallow. So then that's the way people will. Treat you what? Well, no, there's no, wait. There's they talk about like shiftless. Shiftless is like when you don't have any self value, but that's not what they're talking about. Shiftless, you're talking about like anivus, humility. But the thing is, if you're a rav, you have to assert your authority sometimes, and that doesn't go so well with anivus, but it's necessary. This isn't quite the same thing, but. They have this book, Mivalashan on Yerushalayim by Rameir Berlin. He was the son of the Tziv. So he describes Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. He had one sort of personality when he was Rosh Hashiva Valajan, and then when he became the Rav and Brisk, he had a different personality. And I think it's like when you assume position, you have to have a little bit of a, you know, a different disposition for people. All right, now, Daniel, you still there, Daniel? 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 All right, we lost him. Anyway,
that's right, I'm here. I'm here.
There Daniel, there you are. Okay, yes. Daniel. Yeah, so wait. So Daniel told me a pshat on Shmini b'Shmini. Tell us the pshat on Shmini b'Shmini, Daniel.
Go ahead, Rabbi. Go ahead. You can say it.
Well,
eighth parasha of Bereshit, eighth pasuk, is the pasuk of Yaakov saying, "Katonti mikol hachasadim mikol haemet." They said that that is what's referred to Shmini b'Shmini.
Yeah. All right, that's what Daniel
said. I heard from Rabbi Ben Chaim.
Okay, so the eighth parsha in Bereshit is presumably by Yetzei. So what does Shmini b'Shmini? The eighth of the eighth. So Daniel heard pshat from Rabbi Ben Chaim that it means that the eighth parsha is by Yetzei, and the eighth pasuk says Yaakov says Katonti mikol chesed mikol emet. I'm not worthy of all the chesed you've done to me. In other words, so Yaakov at this point he's like leaving Eretz Israel. And he's got nothing. And Eliphaz stole all his money. He's got nothing. This is his clothes on his back and his makel and his staff. And he says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, "Katonti mikol chesed mikol emet. I'm not worthy for all the chesed you've done to me." So that's the type of anibus, and that's the Shmini b'Shmini. Okay, all right. Now let's see further. So, one second. Okay, so Amrav Puna Brei Yeshua. This we did already. Now. So Amrav Nachman Yitzchak Lo Minav Lo Mikset Torah. Nachman Yitzchak says, "I don't want to be part of the gaiva. Mizuter Dechti Beit Tovar Hashem Kol Gvalev. Is it like inconsequential to you that in Mishlei it says it's an abomination to Hashem every gvalev, every arrogant person? Amrav Chizkin Shatoshlam Nishman Omkain Nisim Libo Kvasar. A person's tefillah is not heard in Shemayim. In other words, like accepted in Shemayim." Unless he puts his heart like basar. So basar means the person is more easygoing. In other words, you could have a lev evan or a lev basar. So lev basar is like, it's malleable, it's soft. He says, Shenemar v'yan v'nechodesh v'kodesh v'gomer, yavo kol basar l'shtat vod v'gomer. Like every month, the Pasuk Yishai, this is in the Haftorah, Shran Kisi, kol basar will come to bow to me and Hashem in the base of Mikdash. And it sounds like the implication would be that Shiva would be acted on positively. So, and let me see what he says here. One second. Yeah, 58. He says, softness implies, in the article, footnote 58, softness implies a humble attitude or receptivity to spiritual improvement. Hardness, on the other hand, is just an imperious and obdurate mindset. And he quotes the Pasuk, Nechezkel, Basirotile, Ba'edan, Mibisaram, Benatilahem, Le Basar. I'll remove the heart of stone from their flesh. I'll give them a heart of flesh. So it means that's what Hashem likes. Okay, let's see further, and then we'll pause in a few lines. So three lines from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Basar Ktibei V'Nirpa, Adam Lo Ktibei V'Nirpa. So in coming up in Parsha Shavua, after Pesach, we have Tazriyim and Sora. So when it talks about the different Negayim, so when it says that Adam Kia Ba'or B'Saro Negat Sarad, so it'll say V'Nirpa. It says basar kiva oro shchin b'nirpa. If basar flesh has shchin, b'nirpa has refuah. So that's a positive thing by the word basar. He says Adam looks to be b'nirpa, but by Adam says Adam kiva or b'saros eido sapacha or neged sarak b'adam doesn't say b'nirpa. So it sounds like the thing is positive about the word b'nirpa. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Adam efer dam mara. So Rabbi Yochanan says the word Adam, which is man, it's an acronym for three words. Aleph is Afer, like ash. This is what man is. Afer, dust, ashes. Dam, blood. Mara is bile. Bile is usually something not so good. He says, here in the Art Scroll, he's an amalgam of these three insignificant substances. He has no cause for arrogance. He's quoting from the Rashi, a single Rashi. He says, Adam, this we did. Yeah. He says, three lines from the bottom, Klomar kulo hevel chach al yitgae. He shouldn't be arrogant. He's made up of nothing. He says, then he says, basar, the word basar is an acronym for busha srucha rima. It's like embarrassment. Sruch is like malodorous. Rima is like with filled with maggots. Ikeda Amri Sha'ol Dechtiv Bishin. Some say instead of Srucha, you should say Sha'ol. Sha'ol means like, you know, going down to the grave. So let's take a look. He says, Amrabashi, Kodam Shesh Bukasabruch, Sofin Chak. Rashi says, everybody who's arrogant eventually is brought down. Shnemar, front page, La Seif La Sapachat. Talking about different Nagayim. So you have Sa'id and Sapachat. So actually, Chazal teach us Sa'id, remember by the Tzaraas, there's two Avod, and each Av has a Tolda to it. There was a different colors of white. Remember, we had this. So Sa'id is one of the Avod, and Baharet is the other. La Sa'id, La Sapacha, La Baharet. It's the Sa'id, Sapacha, and Baharet. So Sa'id and Baharet are the two Avod by Tzaraas. And sapachat means you add another one to each one. So it comes out, Chazal identify like four shades of white. One is white like snow. One is white like the sheep, like the fleece of a young lamb. And then and I think one is a white like the membrane of the egg. And then there's another white. Anyway, so but here he's saying, Blaseid la sapachat, the ain se'el shom gavoa. Se'ed is like, you know, signifies like height or exaltedness or arrogance. And all the high mountains and hills. I mean, sapachat al tefela. Sapachat implies tefela, that's subsidiary. So this Rashi points out is talking about Eli HaKohen. You remember Eli HaKohen? Let's look at the Rashi. Sapachinina, the third white line in Rashi. Asfenina, but if what made Eli Mishtaikra, the Pasuk is talking about the prophecy to the house of Eli. Amin Kohanim Gedolim Acherim, Hashem is saying to Eli, I'm going to get other Kohanim Gedolim, not from your descendants. Sheotziu Kohanei Zarecha Migdulatam, they're going to remove your family from their exalted position. And then your family descendants will have to ask the other ones to help them out and let them, you know, be attached to somebody, to a group of Kohanim, who they could get something, and they'll be able to have a loaf of bread. So the idea is Sa'id represents arrogance, and Sapaka, so the drasha was, the Sof Nifad, that if you're arrogant, in the end, you're brought down low. You start with Sa'id, and then you become Sapaka. All right, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? All right, this is the atypical Gemara, but we're going to fifth out soon. Let me see what we have a little bit here. All right, this we got. And this we got. All right, let me just do a little piece from our Al Hadam. So we said before, Amr Kibrashi, Amrav, Tamil Chacham, Strich Shehebo, Tami Shmona Bashmini. I saw there's one of the in Ituri Torah, they had one drasha that said, like Tamina Chachamim aren't so good with the mathematics. You know, they should have an eighth of arrogance, you know, or some Tamina Chachamim, or some Tamina Chachamim aren't so good with their math. So he says here, the Rambam writes that there are certain traits regarding which one is prohibited from following the middle of the road, the Beinoni approach. Rather, one should adopt an extreme approach. The trait one should avoid is hoidiness. It is not sufficient for a person to merely be humble. Instead, he should behave in an extremely contrite manner. Sefer Yad HaMelech notes that there is a contradiction in the writings of the Rambam about these matters. Since the Rambam in the previous comment maintains that the Beinoni approach is not acceptable regarding haughtiness, yet in another place, right, there's a steer in the Rambam between two halachot. He says, the Rambam, where is it? He says, the Rambam previous Beinoni is not acceptable. Yet in another place, the Rambam writes, although it's praiseworthy for a person to adopt a extreme approach, avoid haughtiness, nevertheless, one who follows the Beinoni approach is still considered humble and wise. So, the Sefer Yad HaMelech suggests that if one can indeed follow a balanced position between haughtiness and humility, he should follow that path, the same way he should balance between two other extremes. The reason the Rambam advises that a person should adopt an extreme approach to avoid haughtiness is the difficulty involved in keeping one's haughtiness contained in a way that does not get out of control. Therefore, the Rambam writes that one who follows the Beinoni approach in haughtiness and humility has behaved correctly, but as a practical matter, Rambam advises avoiding the Beinoni approach due to the difficulty in keeping the tendency toward haughtiness from getting out of control. Now, the Sefer Kol Eliyahu asks in the name of the Gra, why Yaakov Avinu took credit for the blessing that Hashem showered upon him. I think this is your thing, Daniel. Katonti mikol chastim asher sida imadi. Rather than attribute it to his ancestors, the answer is that concerning blessings one already received, it is appropriate for a person to attribute that to himself, because by doing so, he must humble himself with the recognition that his merit may have run out. When asking Hashem for salvation or other blessing, one should not ask in his own merit. Instead, one should make the request in the merit of others. Taking credit for blessings that one already received, that leads to humbleness, is the degree of haughtiness that Chazal referred to when they said that Torah scholars possessed an eighth of haughtiness. Gra notes that, interestingly, the Pasuk which teaches this lesson is the eighth Pasuk of the eighth portion of the Torah. So, Daniel, you still listening, Daniel? Daniel?
Yes, right, Rabbi, I'm listening. I'm here. Yeah. I'm listening everywhere.
Okay, so it seems like it's the Gra. The Gra is the one who says about the eighth Parsha with the eighth Pasuk.
Yes, yeah. Yes. The Rabbi Chaim quoted the Gra.
Okay, so what he's saying here is sometimes you ask for a bakasha in the name of your ancestors. And but Yaakov Avinu, when Hashem gave him the bracha, he says, "Katonti mikol chasdim." I'm like humbled by all of your chesed. So there, he doesn't say, "Well, you know, it wasn't because of me; it was, you know, because of my fathers who did whatever chesed he did." So he's saying, when you're asking for something, you should say, you know, in the zechus of my ancestors. That's the more humble way to approach it. Well, once it's been given to you already, then you should humble yourself and say, you know, I wasn't worthy for this to happen to me. All right, now, let me do, all right, there's a story, I'll do the story at the end. But say again, repeat. Wait, say again, he should ask him from him for his hand? Wait, I'm not following. So
when I ask you something, ask yourself.
What does that mean? I don't see what that means. All right. I'm not following so clearly, but let's go further in the Gemara. Okay, let's see further. Now, so we're on the fifth line on Haman Bays. Okay, so Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Borei Kam Gdolim Nimuchei Aruach Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See how, you know, great or precious are the people who are humble for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shoshash Bid HaMikdash Kiyam Adam Akriv Ola Sfar Ola Biyado Mincha Sfar Mincha Biyado. When the base of Mikdash stood, you bring a Korban Ola, you get the reward from Ola. You bring a Mincha, you get reward from Mincha. But you only get reward for one Korban. He says, Aval Mishta Toshfala. If a person is humble, Ma'alev HaKtub Kilu HaKriv Kol Korban HaKulam, then he gets the credit is if he brought all the korban out. Shinemar, Zivchei Elokim, Ruach Nishbarah. In other words, Zivchei, the korban out of Hashem, the plural, the sacrifice of Hashem, are Ruach Nishbarah, broken spirit. So a person approaches Zavoda with a Ruach Nemucha, that's like he brought all the korban out. In addition to which, his tefillah will not be detested. He says, Shinemar, Lev Nishbarah Benin Ka, like a broken heart, a broken spirit. Elokim lo tivzeh, Hashem won't despise that. But Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, call Hashem orchotah b'olam hazeh, whoever evaluates his path, Sham, like to evaluate in this world, zoch v'ro b'shua tosh l'kadosh baruch hu, will be zoch to see the salvation of a kadosh baruch hu. Shneimar v'sam derech arenu b'yesh elokim, upon who places his path will see with the salvation of Hashem. So let's take a look. One second. So if you look at Rashi, the fifth narrow line, Hashem or Chotav, Mechashev Hefseid Mitzvah Kneged Schara. He calculates the loss of every mitzvah involves a loss. The loss of time, loss of money. You have to give up for a mitzvah, even if you know you go to a levaya. So I'm giving up time. It's aggravation, gas, whatever. So, but then I think about the sechar. The sechar is so much greater than that. So if a person, sham or chotav, he makes that calculation, so then the Gemara says, and the spring for that word for that is pasuk, b'sam derech erenu b'yesh elokim. Sam derech, a person who places his path, I'll show him Yeshua from Hashem. So the Gemara understands it, like don't read sam, read sham. He says, So the Pshuto Shel Mikra, the Psalm, one who sets the way, I will show the salvation of God. So he says, I shall set the way for the penitent to return to me fully. If he does, I will show my salvation. That's what Rashi says over in the Pasuk over there. So the Psalm there, set the way. In other words, the person is Shuva, but he's darshening it out. If you evaluate, you make the calculation, then you'll see the Yesh Elokim. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts? All right. Now, the vacation is over. We're back to Masechet Sota. All right. Now, all right. Let's go back to the Mishnah on Daf Beis, and we'll just refresh our recollection. So it's hard to believe that this Masechet just began on Friday. Today's Monday. It feels like there's somebody dapping here already. So if you look at the Mishnah, it says, on line 4, in the Mishnah on Beis Amud Beis, page 2a, line 4, he says, Ketzad Mekani La, how does a husband issue kinui as his warning? How does he issue the warning? Omer La B'fnei Shnayim, he says to the wife in the presence of two people, Al Tadabri Yemish Ploni, don't speak with David. V'dibra Imo, and then she spoke with David, Adayin Hi Muteret Leveita, Muteret L'chol B'truma. So that doesn't do anything. She's still permissible Leveita to the husband. She's the wife of a Kohen, she's still permitted to eat truma. He says, Nichtasayimo lebeit hasater, if she goes to private quarters with this person, Visha Taimo Kide Tuma, and she was with him the amount of time, Kide Tuma, which he had on Daf Dalid, all the Pshatim, but it means enough, like to begin an intimate contact, Asru lebeit of Asru lechol betruma. Then she's prohibited to her husband, and she's prohibited to eat truma. The maid, until she drinks the sota water, then she's cleared, she's cleared. Being made, if during this period of time the husband dies, she does chalitza with his brother and not evil. Okay, so it's back in the Gemara on Tayyim and Days. What?
The husband doesn't have to
tell him that.
It's clear for everyone.
Okay, again. So, no woman should be alone with a man. That we got. The Mishnah is speaking about if the husband, we'll see in a minute in the Gemara, okay, we're just wondering. But the point is, if the husband gives her warning that creates a certain halachic context that could cause her to have to drink the soaked water. That's basically what we're saying. So let's see back in the Gemara. So, Ketzab and Kani Lahule. So the Gemara says, Hakufa Kasha. The Braisa is internally contradictory. Amrit Amarla B'fni Shtayim Al Tadabri Mish Ploni Zeh. The Mishnah says, he says to her in front of two people, don't speak with David. The implication of that is, in other words, the Mishnah says, what's the kinui? So he says, don't speak with Ploni. The implication is that if she speaks with him, then she's in trouble. Bahadur Tani, Dibraimo, Adayim Luter Lebeitim, Luter Lechol Betruman. Then the Mishnah says, if she talks to him, she's permissible to the husband, and she's permissible to eat the truma. Alma Dibor Lo Klomu. That sounds like Dibor is nothing. So what does the Mishnah mean? So Amar Abaye, Hachi Kamar. So Bai says, this is what the Mishnah means. Al Tadabri B'dibra, if he says, don't speak to him, and she spoke, or Al Tadabri B'nistera, or she says, he says to her, don't speak to him, and then she's alone in the room with him. Al Tistri B'dibraimo, or he says, don't be alone with him, and then she speaks with him. Adayin Luter Lebeitim Luter Lefo B'truma. None of that incurs the penalties that the Mishnah speaks about. Meaning, he has to say, Al Tistri and Ploni. That's the key. I don't want you to be right. I don't want you to be secluded with Ploni. If then she's secluded with Ploni, we don't know what transpired in that room because they were alone together. You're right. No woman should be alone with a man anyway. But he said ahead of time in front of witnesses, Al Tistri and Ploni, and then she's alone with the man. So then she becomes prohibited on the husband until she drinks the sota water to be mivarer whether she was or was not a sota. Okay, that's what we're saying. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? All right. Now, I have a little piece here. Let's take a look. No. Okay, the fact that a woman suspiciously secluded herself with a man in violation of law yichud is not sufficient grounds to render her sota unless she did so in violation of her husband's kinui. Admonition not to seclude herself. The Gemara explains that if instead of warning his wife not to seclude herself with a man, the husband instructs her, Al Tadabri Yemish Ploni, do not speak with that man, is not a valid kinui, because speaking with a strange man is not grounds to suspect zinus. Moreover, she's not deemed a sota, even if she subsequently secludes herself with that man, since she was not explicitly warned not to seclude herself. So the key is, he's got to say, I'll tistream Ploni, and then she's alone with Ploni. Those are the two elements we're looking for, or we don't want it to happen, but if it does, that's it. Today, in the absence of the base of Mikdash, and the administration of the sota drink, it's particularly important to be mindful of what constitutes a legal kinui and stira, because if a woman today secludes herself in violation of her husband's kinui, she becomes a suspected sota and must be divorced because there's no way to prove her innocence. Indeed, the Shulchan Aruch, citing Reb Panina's assertion from the Gemara on Beis Amud Beis, states that a man must take heed when telling his wife not to seclude herself, because if she ever disregards his warning and secludes herself in the presence of witnesses, she becomes a suspected sota and may not return to her husband. The Chasam Sofer submits that if a man warns his wife not to allow a certain man into her house, it is not a valid kinui, since he did not explicitly warn her not to seclude herself. His words indicate he doesn't want the man to be given entry into his house, even when others are present, or even if his wife is at home. Therefore, such a warning is tantamount to warning her not to speak with a man in the street, but even if she secluded herself with him, she's not a sota. Based on Levi rules that a legally recognized kinui must be prompted by a suspicion of znus, but if a man tells his wife not to seclude herself with a man, so she should not violate the law of Yichud, is not considered a kinui. In other words, Beis Levi says, it's not a kinui unless I suspect her of having zeus with the guy. He proves this from the fact that the Gemara on Beis Amud Beis says that the term kinui is a derivative of the term kinna, jealousy, and that a kinui is bound to cause discord in the home because the wife takes affront to her husband's suspicion of zeus. Instructing one's wife not to violate the laws of Yichud, however, would not cause discord because it does not indicate distrust and suspicion. So couldn't Beis Levi, by telling wife, remember, here's the halakha of Yichud, don't be alone with a man. Thus, if, for example, one is expecting a repairman to visit his home, he may and should instruct his wife to leave the door ajar to avoid a violation of the Easter Yichud. He need not be concerned that his wife might fail to follow his instructions and become a sota, since his admonition was not prompted by suspicion of znus and is not a legal kinui. But the key is, you want to avoid, today, you don't want to have a kinui, because then if she doesn't follow through, then you're left with a, you know, kind of difficult situation. All right, let me just wrap up the daf, and we'll take questions. Wait, and then let me wrap up the daf, and we have time, we'll do some questions, we'll be it. Okay, so now, the six lines from the bottom, the imate kolete. Now, if during this period of time, so he does the kinui, and then she has stira. So now, he cannot have relations with her, and then he has to bring it to Yerushalayim to drink the water. But let's say during that same period of time, he dies. So the Talmud Mishnah says, then her brother has to do chalitza, can't do yibum. We made chalitza. So the Gemara says, Amai, t'yabim nami yibume. Why can't you do yibum? You know, different man, when you get a new start on life. So he says, Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Kra, yatsami b'itob al-chabaital ifecher. So it says in the Torah that, you know, a man will write a get to his wife, because he found something like sexually not correct, which we do. So the Gemara takes it, it's talking about a situation where he suspects her of znos, so he could divorce her. So he says, and then she'll go to another man. So that's the case. Like, so she doesn't need chalitza either. It's like getting out of town. If the husband was around, wouldn't she require a get? She would. So too, she needs chalitza. But the point being, like this woman, you know, shouldn't be part of the family anymore. Others say, Amar Rav Yosef, that Rav Yosef said, Rachman Amar, the Torah says, she should go to another man so she doesn't destroy this person's home. In other words, David, you know, has a brother, Avram. So David is dead, but in other words, this woman is like destroying home. So keep her away. But Amr Titiami Nami, you want to do Yibam? Amr Abaye, let me ask about Chelotina. Say, look, destroy the baker. That's the case. You shouldn't marry anybody. So destroy his home. So Amr Lay. So he said, top line, Bava Menalot. Ikaramina Lay, Baal Korche. Who are we forcing the other person to marry? No. In other words, Yibam. If you look at Rashi, Yibam, we encourage the person normally to do Yibam. This is like we said, Mrs. Yibam is called Mitzvah Chalitza. So we're not encouraging him. We're encouraging him not to get involved with her. But somebody else, we're not telling him to go marry her. But, you know, if you have seichel, you, there would be something to keep an eye on. Now, one second, let me just take a peek here. Then I want to, one second, let me just see a story in a little bit. One second. Okay. So let me just do a story, and then that'll be it for today, and then we'll see where all the questions. Okay. So one second, where's my sheet? Where the sheet go? Yeah. Okay. But Daflish Baruch, on today's daf, we find that Hashem is with those who have a lowly and humble spirit. Once the secretary of the prestigious Kollel Hod in Batei Machsa in Yerushalayim called the Shamus and said, "We have received money from Mrs. Rosenfeld. Please call her to come for the money right away." The Shamus was preoccupied with a personal matter, so he misheard the instructions. Instead of Mrs. Rosenfeld, he heard Rav Sonnenfeld. He went to the venerable Rav Yerushalayim, this obviously like 100 years ago, Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, who immediately answered the summons and climbed the many steps to the office of the Kollel. The moment the Shach secretary saw the Rav of Yerushalayim at his door, he blurted out, "I don't understand. If the Rav had need of me, why didn't he summon me? Actually, I'm answering your Shamus' summons to come for money left for me." At this point, the secretary figured out what had transpired and furiously explained that he would give the Shamus a piece of his mind. But why, asked Rav Sonnenfeld, this kind of mistake could happen to anyone. At the Rav's insistence, the secretary agreed not to mention the mistake to the Shamus. What is truly mind-boggling is what transpired immediately afterwards. A short time later, Mrs. Rosenfeld answered the Kollel to collect her money. "But how did you hear?" asked the puzzled secretary, who in the heat of the moment had completely forgotten to summon the woman. "What do you mean, how? A few minutes ago, the Rav of Yerushalayim knocked on my door and told me about it." In other words, Rav Sonnenfeld went to this woman. Rav Sonnenfeld was like the rabbi in Yerushalayim. So he was, they call him, he's like a common person, come, you know, we got money for you. So he shows up, and then this guy realizes it's the wrong person, the Shamus didn't know what he was doing. So the Rav leaves, and then he goes and finds this Mrs. Rosenfeld, and say, "You know, I got called. I think you have a check that's waiting for you." And that right. That was humility. Okay. Yeah. Let me just recording, and then we'll talk. One second. What's the question? Yeah. So the Ramban says that when the people that we're going to have later on in the Masechta, when the people are virtuous, the sota water works. When they're not virtuous, it doesn't work. So during the time of the second base of Mikdash, I think they weren't so virtuous, so I don't think it worked. But but I have to look a little bit more into it. Okay, all right. Let me
Rabbi, I have a question over here also.
Okay,
regarding the Talmid Chacham with the Shminit Sheba Shminit. I mean, the conclusion of the Gemara was that he should not have that either. He should really be humble to the nth degree. Is that lehalacha?
No. It's. The Gemara says differently like this. He says, here's what the article says. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok agrees that theoretically a Torah scholar should possess a small degree of haughtiness. He holds, however, that in practice one should avoid it altogether, since the risk of overstepping the measure of an eighth of an eighth and crossing into the territory of an abomination to Hashem is very great. Anyway,
As a chumrah, should not have any.
In other words, there are two opinions. One is that Talmid Chacham should have an eighth of an eighth. The other is that he shouldn't even have that, because if he has, it's similar to what we read in the Yad Hamelach. So it was similar to what we saw from the Yad Hamelach that. Like the Rambam says in one place that it sounds like you should have the middle between haughtiness and humility, the other place all the extreme, because if you let a little bit in, you know where it's going to go. So that's the way the second opinion holds, that there's no safe measure because it can easily get out of control. So it represents two opinions. So he has Mari Makomo. He says, "See ha'arot l'masechet sota," for discussion which opinion halacha follows. But there's two opinions as to whether it's Talmid Chacham is out of an eighth of an eighth or zero. Okay?
And the recommendation is not to have it, not to go past.
In other words, there are two opinions. One is that he should have an eighth of an eighth, and the other is he should have nothing because it leads to problems. Okay? Right. That's the famous. So, yeah. Okay. So, Rafi's asking. that we see the Gemara Masechet Shabbos says that there were three incidents where people came to Shammai and he dealt with them harshly, and to Hillel he dealt with them easygoing way. So Rafi's asking, isn't there a stira in Shammai's behavior vis-a-vis arrogance? So it means that Shammai's Masora is that for the Torah, you have to be strict in certain areas, and that's his Masora. In other words, that there's a lack of kavod in coming and presenting things in a certain way, and that's the way he felt the Torah has to be given over. That was his Masora. And Hillel had it a little bit different, Derek. Okay, let me see back here in the Gemara. One second.